Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Now, on today's podcast, I am so excited because I have got a team of guys to talk all about their human design experience. And let's be honest, this is not something we often hear, right? I was just saying to them before I hit record that we know predominantly why women go searching for things like human design. We know the sort of breakthroughs that women have. I mean, it's all often to do with confidence and self-worth and those sort of things. But I'm so curious to find out today why specifically, because let's be honest, a lot of guys come to me because their partners have, you know, loved human design and they've sent their partner to me. But I really want to discover not only why you guys started to go down the human design rabbit hole, but also like what are the significant changes and shifts and improvements that you've experienced from human design. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce you to everybody. I'm going to kick off with our manifestor in the room, of course. Paul, would you like to introduce yourself and tell people also a little bit about your design and a little bit about you?
Well, hello there. My name is Paul. I am a emotional manifestor and I have a 2-4 profile. So I actually was living in Sydney, but I've just moved down to Adelaide in South Australia. So I'm on my next leg of my journey.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice. We were just in Adelaide a couple of months ago and I hadn't been there for so long and it's freaking beautiful. It's so beautiful down there.
Yeah. It's very different from Sydney.
Oh yeah. Far out. So different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Jordan, would you like to go next?
Hi everyone. Yeah. My name's Jordan. I'm a 3-5 manifesting generator with sacral authority. I'm in the UK. I live in Brighton. I'm a massage therapist, yoga teacher. Been into human design for maybe about 4 years now, but just kind of finished studying with Emma doing her mastermind just a few months ago. Well, a bit less than that.
Yeah, which was freaking awesome.
It was amazing.
It was a bloody awesome ride. I love the mastermind. Thank you, Jordan. Dujon, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yes, please. Hi, I'm Dujan, and I am a projector with a 2-4 profile and a splenic authority. I am currently in North Carolina. I moved from Humboldt County, and in the daytime when I'm not taking naps or daytime, I am a regenerative farmer.
I love it. And if only you guys who are listening could see this, we've got a manifester who's sitting right on his microphone. We've got the MG that's like, yeah, I'm excited, let's get into it. And we've got the projector literally laid back, hood up, chilling out. I just love it. It's so cool. Tim, take it away. Tell us a little bit about you.
Hey, everybody. My name is Tim Tran. I'm from Texas in the United States. I am a generator, a 2-4 generator. And what else is there? I'm fit right into your profile, which is my wife got into it first and she's like, hey, you need to do this. And I'm like, okay, let's book a session with her. So here I am.
I love it. And what's your authority? You're a sacral authority. That's right, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still fairly new to this. So yeah.
Yeah. All good. It's so good. And I'm really excited to hear all the different stories. So I really do want to just kick off with the obvious question. What was it specifically that drew you to human design? What was going on in your life at the time that basically human design became the answer to? Paul, do you want to kick off?
Yeah, sure. For me, it was something that I had heard a few times before through my sister. So at the time that I actually started to look into it, it was Australia Day. And so it's the beginning of the year. In Australia, we have Australia Day, and the beginning of the year for me has always been a time where I sort of kind of think about where I'm going for that year. It's always something I've done, and you know, like you always have your New Year resolutions and all that sort of thing. So there's always been some element of that. But then we were sitting at a barbecue on Australia Day, having a chat with a neighbour of ours. And I'd been telling stories all day about some of my tour guiding stories and traveling stories and all this sort of thing. And then I asked her, what is it that sort of excites her? And she started talking about how she enjoys doing these facials. But when she's doing these facials, she gets these downloads and can tell all this stuff about these people that she's doing the facials on. I'm thinking, that's pretty crazy, you know. And then my sister started asking her whether she'd heard about human design. And then, again, never really went into it. So I've just heard probably about 4 or 5 occasions human design, but never actually knew anything about it. So it was at this point I decided to actually look into it. And so I got on to like Google and just did a search, and up comes the Jovian Archive website, and it talks about it and it says about putting your birth date and all that in there. So I did that and it came up with a chart, and I was like, okay, so what is this? And I went and saw my sister and she goes, oh, look, I've actually got a book you can read about it. So I started looking into that. And then, of course, I thought a podcast would be good while I'm working. I can listen to a podcast, and I found a podcast called the Human Design Podcast, which was amazing. And that was what got me really hooked into it. I just related to it so well, and everything that you were saying on the podcast, it was just like, it was a no brainer. So that's when I just like jumped straight in head first, and
yeah,
blew me away.
Yeah, I love it. And I love, like, there's a couple of things I want to, first thing I want to geek out on is that I love that our manifestor in the room does his yearly planning in January. And on a human design calendar, that is actually the end of the year. So it's like intuitively in alignment. I love it. The other thing that you said that I think is really fascinating, because I hear it all the time, is human design kind of appears in your life and it doesn't let you go. Like, it just keeps turning up. And I know for me, I like very consciously said no twice to human design. And then was like, oh, for God's sake. Okay. And I love that this is just seeing this theme. I also love that it's that the curiosity that sent you down that, that rabbit hole. Love it. Jordan, what was it specifically that, you know, I know that you've got people around you that are very into human design, but tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, I was very lucky to be introduced to human design by Jenny Crowther, who does your Transits podcast. So I was on a yoga retreat and met Jenny there and heard her talking about it to one of the other volunteers, I think it was. And it was just one of those things that instantly just piqued my interest. Like, as soon as I heard her talking about it, I was like, I want to know about this. It's like, this sounds interesting. I'm kind of a naturally skeptical person about things, that I need to experience them to understand that they're right for me. Line three, right? Mm-hmm. But as soon as I heard it, I was just like, right, I need to know more. And then spoke to Jenny about my design. And it was a time in my life where I was going through like a bit of a transition period, some kind of relationship difficulties and stuff happening. So it kind of just started to make me kind of look at myself and look at where that was coming from. And yeah, just the more I got into it, the more it just reinforced that, you know, this is actually something that this works. You know, I was already on the kind of path of self-inquiry, if you like. I've been doing yoga for a good few years and meditation and stuff. So I'm kind of used to looking at myself in one way, but this was like, it just brought a different angle of working with myself and looking at how I operate and how other people operate and how that relationship works.
Love it. I love it. And I love what I'm hearing is it's like there's this curiosity. Often when you hear the stories, especially a lot in women, is that when, like, I know when I found it, I was in a place of like, oh, for fuck's sake, you know, like almost desperation. Like, I need something. Like, what am I missing? And I'm loving what I'm hearing is it's more of a curiosity. It's more of a, I know that there's something that needs transforming. What is that? And that sort of human design appears.
Yeah.
Love that.
Completely out of the blue. I had no, it's not like I was kind of actively searching for this kind of new way of doing things. It just appeared out of the
Oh, I love that. And I feel like that's also something that's very common, you know, that it just appears out of the blue. Awesome. Thanks, Jordan. Dujon, tell us a little bit about your journey to discovering human design.
I found human design, I think it was 2018 going into 2019. I had moved to California in 2016 to farm cannabis in California. And I had a background in meditation and astrology, and I knew my planets, and that was great. But once I got to my last year working at the farm, I realized that I wasn't built to work as hard as everybody else around me.
True.
And I honestly spent an entire summer farming this plant with some of my dearest friends, like four of them are projectors. And we were four projectors building a system while farming in a generator's world. And at the end of the season, three of my friends got let go, and then I quit. And right before I quit, I had a friend tell me, my manager friend Matt, which I learned to trim with, and he supported me with so much energy. Thank you, Matt. But Matt told me about human design, and I asked my projector friend Jess, because Jess had told Matt about it, and Jess did not know very much about it because she studies a lot of astrology, so she tends to focus on one thing at a time. And I got on my iPhone and went to mybodygraph.com and I started collecting charts. And once I realized that I was a projector, I looked up what a projector was. I took a step back and started watching my life in the end of 2018 going into that, watching the patterns of the invitations that showed up and how I was invited to places. And usually when I got invited to those places or to do certain things in my life, that's when I would have the biggest catalyst, or like I would be sent in like a direction that felt right to me. So in 2019, I stuck with the projector format and studied that. And I want to say going into 2020, I started to understand what my strategy and my authority was and how to use my spleen to give me those, to show me those intuitive hits of yes and no. And then using my strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
My strategy to see how I would implement them, and knowing that I am a 2-4, like being able to look at when I'm being called off of the mountain to do what I need to do. So recently I've actually been taking a step back and living into projectorhood and listening to my body when it wants to nap, when it wants to work, and how to feed it so I can function and do my best job. And yeah. I also had an amazing reading with Emma this year that rocked my socks and helped me go, once again, invited by another projector to listen to your work, I was pushed in a direction that I did not know was capable based on the reading, and I got a way better understanding of how to use my strategy and my authority. So thank you, Emma.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. And I love, love, love what you're saying, because one of the things straight away is like just even the way you integrated human design, that you sat back and you watched, you know, like, again, this is in alignment mm-hmm. with your actual design. And I love the thing that you were saying about, you know, that you know what you love to do, you know what you want to do, but there is still this, I'm going to use the word trap, especially as a projector, to do the doing. And I'm curious, yep. like in the world, like, let's be honest, it is a masculine dominated world. And one of the big things about being masculine is you can get shit done, that you're a doer. So what was yep. that journey like? Like actually having to go, hang on a second, I'm definitely designed to be a guide. I'm definitely meant to be doing these systems, finding better ways. But what's that journey like, kind of stepping back and going, so, no, actually, I'm not meant to do so much?
I've seen it more this year than anything. When I'm farming by myself, like when I had my house, my little apartment with my backyard grow, when I'm farming by myself, it's great because I'm the one setting the schedule. So I can do what I want. I can schedule the plants tell me what they want and I just follow their lead. But when I'm working in the environment with my friends, I let them know that like my body's not made to physically do. I strive when I'm able to design systems. My brain is what does most of the doing and not my physical body. So in a world, a generator world or a world where I'm supposed to be doing, I find ways to support my generator friends and people that are around me to help us design these systems. And like, once I've taken a step back, like I just watch them. Like my generator friends are here to support me in what I do. And I support them in ways by guiding them when they invite me to. So it's been a trip, honestly. And like, I'm noticing the people that are supposed to be in my aura are coming to me as opposed to me going out of my way to find them, because the mechanics start to work by themselves without them being forced.
Exactly. I love it. Thanks, Dijon. All right.
You're welcome.
Tim, tell us a little bit about how, I mean, we know that definitely it's part of the story that your wife kind of sent you in my direction, but let's talk a little bit about how you've come to human design and yeah, tell us your story.
Yes, I think it was one. So what I came to find out later was it's an external response. But at the time, I didn't realize it was an external response. So we had a friend that kind of she was a projector, and she was kind of talking about human design, and that led into the rabbit hole. But during this time, probably around 2 years, I stepped away from a business. But I'm still involved, but I stepped away from it massively. And most of the time, I'm just trying to figure out what the next thing is. And I'm trying in this spiritual journey of like, what's next? And I think that was the wrong question. It was more like, what do I do next versus what's next? And I think the biggest thing for me was I was meditating a lot. I was getting deeper into like the spiritual journey. And I had a hard time figuring out how not to work. Like it, you know, for I guess for some people it's a little bit easier, but I don't know if it's my profile type or whatever, but I had a hard time not working. And so my mind was constantly racing, and I had this like intuition about let's do this, let's try this. And I think it wasn't really until human design where I started to check in and say, do I want to do this today? Or what do I want to eat? And I think this is something that you've helped coach me on, which is start really small, which I've done. What do you want to eat today? Or what do you want to eat right now? Do I want to eat this cookie? Yes. All right, I'm going to eat this cookie. Right. And versus like caring about like what my diet is supposed to be. But anyway, so that was kind of the curiosity of trying to figure out what's next. But in actuality, it created this whole environment where it allowed me to kind of understand a little bit more about myself and where to invest my time. And most of the time right now, because I'm a 2-4 profile, I've been investing heavily into just building connections, friendships, having that secure male friendship, and then also even just like-minded families that are very similar in kind of values, that it's helped a lot in terms of happiness. It's also helped a lot in terms of opportunities that come up, like that's come my way, that I kind of again check in and just say, do I want to do this or not? And most of the time it's just no. Okay. So I've just been meditating, and my wife is sort of my secondary like human design coach. She's like, hey, this is why you're like this. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, it's been great.
I love it. And I love even what you said right at the beginning about how you were asking yourself the question, what's next? But it wasn't the right question. The right question was, what do I do next? And again, yep. Intuitively, this is your type. Like the generator types definitely are these energies that need to be doing. And I know for me personally as an MG, that if I'm not doing, like my mind can just take over, and because I'm emotional authority and my emotional wave gets bigger. And so there really is a part of us as generator types that even if we're doing, it's almost like even if you're doing the inverted commas wrong thing, doing is a good way to work out where we need to go, as opposed to what Dujon was talking about, where he'll sit back as a projector and just watch until he knows better. But I love that. That's really cool. Thanks, Tim. So what I want to talk about now is really the sort of impact that human design has had on your life. And maybe what we could go into from there is that A, the impact, and then B, like, what was the biggest challenge with human design? I mean, one of the big things when we do discover our design is we then have to go against our conditioning, if you like. So I would love to sort of hear about that as well. Paul, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So the biggest thing, I guess, since finding human design is, I mean, because I've always been a pretty scattered person. I've always just gone here and there and just not really had any direction in life and trying to figure it out as I go along. And I've always had a whole heap of ups and downs along the way. And then finding out that I have this, emotional authority, it was like, okay, so this is what I really wanted to concentrate on. And, I guess when I was younger, I definitely indulged in the ups and the downs. So it was always the peaks where I was putting all my energy into. I mean, as I got older, it naturally started to flatten out a bit. But once I actually understood the emotional authority, it really got me to a point where I really don't worry about anything now. I really don't worry about making decisions. Because when it's time to make a decision, when I don't feel either way about it in a way, that's the time I make the decision and just go, if it doesn't work out, I don't really care because it's not the end of the world. And whereas before I was really concerned about, but what if it doesn't work out, you know? And it was all about that. And I pair that with when I look through my human design, it's all about slowing down and being a lot more calmer. And I used to find that I'm always in a rush everywhere I go, trying just to get to the next, I don't even know what I was trying to get to really. I was just rushing for no reason, you know, even just being on the road in traffic and things like that would get me so frustrated and get me to the point of anger and all that sort of thing. And it would like physically affect me. By the time I got home, I was just like, that just wasted like 2 hours of my life. And now I feel so angry and all this sort of stuff. And, when I first, discovered the human design and started looking at the calm, you know, the environment that I need to be at, the digestion, all that sort of stuff, I was really focusing on actually just being in the moment and just like not trying to rush things. So what I actually found is that things started to flow way more easy. And I had a little experiment where I was on the road and on this particular day, I was getting more and more frustrated and I was riding my motorcycle through heavy traffic. I was lane splitting, like trying to zigzag through traffic. I needed fuel in my bike. I completely missed the fuel station because I was too busy like in the middle of the traffic rather than in the lane that I should have been in. I had to go to a different service station that was out of my way, so I added time on. I was going into the servo and I left my gloves and stuff inside. So I went out and I had to go back in. Everything just kept delaying me. Mm. The very next day, the traffic was just the same. And I decided, no, I'm not going to worry. I was just sitting on the speed limit. Everyone was passing me. I get to this particular section of road, which turns into one lane, and you always get caught there. And there was a bus in front of me. And I thought, this is where I slow down. Oh, well, I'll just deal with it. And the bus took off down the road and left me behind. And I was like, what? So, so I really found that just chilling out was something that I really needed to do. And I think that's one of the biggest things that's really changed in my life now, is just trying, like, I just sometimes I got to remind myself to do that, because I still get a bit carried away, but you know.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love it. And I totally resonate. I mean, an emotional authority, you know, the one way to disconnect from your emotional authority is apply time pressure. So, you know, that in itself was probably keeping you disconnected. What I'm really curious about is, especially as a manifester who is on the planet to be inspired by Source and to allow Source to move through you, to initiate, to inspire others into action, the slower you go, and when you really trust that slower rhythm, do you notice a lot more guidance coming in, a lot more, you know, almost like certainty of the guidance that's coming in, and and easier flow?
Yeah, I do. It's because it's when, for me particularly, like when I slow down, like I tend to do, like I'm a very outdoorsy person. And it's when I'm not really sort of concentrating or something, I'm just kind of doing something. I could be out for on a run, or, you know, even just driving in the car, if I'm pretty relaxed and just sitting back and listening to some music or whatever, I just kind of, this inspiration just comes like into me, and I just like start thinking about something, and then all of a sudden I get wrapped up right in it. It's kind of like the human design. Like when I first heard about it, it was like I was 100% just focused on it, just learning everything I could. And then like I find that when I start talking to people, like I don't go out of my way to go, oh, I found about this human design. I just start talking and things come up and people just get so engaged in what I'm listening to, and they want to hear more, and they're like, oh. And the next minute they're off doing all different stuff as well. So it's not like, it's totally not a conscious thing, but when I do slow down, it just, yeah, like you said, it just flows, it just happens.
Yeah, my God, and I love this, because this is actually the entire point of human design, that there's nothing to be done, that we don't need to be doing anything. When we're in alignment to our design, it just flows through us. I also need to add is that you've moved from Sydney, the fastest city in Australia, to Adelaide, which is certainly not in any rush whatsoever. So I think even that is really, really awesome, and evidence of you being more aligned to your design.
Yep.
I love it. Thanks, Paul. Jordan, so do you want to tell us a little bit about your journey, like how life specifically changed, and potentially the challenge or challenges that you may have faced as you become into alignment with your design?
Yeah. I mean, so many things have changed since I started to learn about human design. So many things in my life have got a lot easier. Just to kind of, as a manifesting generator, that sort of permission to be, that it's all right to be into lots of different things at the same time. Because before, it's like, I think there was some conditioning in me, still is, to be like sort of focused on one thing, like you learn this, you do it like step by step, and that's how things are done. But it's just not how manifesting generators do things. We'll skip all over the place and have different interests and do things too quickly and have to go back and kind of do it again and pick up on the bits that we missed. And that it was just a kind of permission that I'm not doing anything wrong by doing that. And it's like, it's okay. That's kind of how I'm supposed to, how I'm designed to be sort of moving my way through life. Yeah, that it's all right to be a little bit chaotic sometimes. Whereas before, when like I felt my life was getting a bit sort of chaotic and I didn't have as much of a handle on things as I would have liked, I would have kind of beaten myself up about it. But now I'm getting better at like just accepting that, yeah, maybe the chaos and things are kind of part of how I'm designed to do things.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Amen to that, I say, yeah. You know. One thing, being an MG myself, is one of the biggest permission slips I ever gave myself was that to be messy, you know, like, and I don't mean messy as in I'm actually quite an organized person, but messy in the things that I study, messy in the things that I want to share, messy in almost the you know, like my marketing communication is hilarious. Mm. I tried to structure it just a couple of months ago, and my you know, Mel, my social media person was like, Emma, what are you doing? Just calm down. It's not meant to be neat and tidy. So yeah, I love that. I love that. So tell us a little bit about potential challenge that you may have had trusting your design.
I guess at the beginning, trying to stop my mind getting involved in decision-making. Something I've had a fair bit of practice with now, this kind of making decisions with the body from the sacral response as a generator type. But my mind is like strong. It comes in quickly. And I think it's the same for everyone. So that was a real challenge at the beginning of things, just to try and not to get caught up in that making the decision with my mind and trusting that like kind of my body knows what it wants and knows the right decision, and my mind will probably just complicate things and not really make anything much better. But I think it, like, as it's gone on, I've got a little bit kind of more practiced at using that sacral response to make decisions. The challenges with it, I guess the challenges have come when I've started to look at my conditioning. In when we were going through the stuff in the mastermind about the shadow aspects of the design that come up, that's quite challenging stuff to look at yourself in that way and see things in yourself that you may perhaps don't like or would rather not be there. I guess that's a fairly challenging part of doing the work of human design, I think. Mm. But on the positive side of that, it also gives you a kind of way out of it. It's not just like, this is how you are, this is your shadow, this is like, yeah, deal with it. It's like, yes, this is here, accept it, but there's a way out. Yeah. There's a way to navigate through it.
Yeah, I love that. And for me as well, I totally agree. I mean, I'm a person who's literally done shadow work and reconditioned for decades. But one of the great gifts of human design is that it can give you the specificity of that shadow, you know, and things that, like, I know for me that there's been times I'm like, oh, no, I don't think that's it. Like, I've literally said it to coaches, like, no, I don't think that's it. And then I come to my human design and go, oh, shit, yep, that's it. and it gives you the opportunity to heal. Like you say, it gives you the opportunity because often, you know, I remember one of my mentors saying when I was training to be a master coach, you know, like awareness is 90% of the journey. So once you're aware of this, you know, these energies within you and you accept that they're there, and like you say, with human design, we have this beautiful support tool. I don't think tool's the right word, but I'm going to use it, of the gene keys, which really expresses, shows us how we can, you know, raise our frequency around, you know, that those things within us, which I think is really powerful. Awesome. I love it. Thanks, Jordan. All right. I'm going to get the other generator on board here. So Tim, do you want to talk a little bit about potentially any specific changes that you've noticed, even if they're really little, given that you're probably our newest human design, recruit? And then tell us a little bit, like, what were the things, as you're starting to practice your human design, what are the things that you might find a little bit challenging or difficult? Tell us a little bit about that for you.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is I come from like a very entrepreneurial background. So most of the people that I hang out with, they're very entrepreneurial. So some of the, I guess, catchphrases, if you will, are, you know, you got to make sure you goal set. You got to make sure that, that you make stuff happen. You're always trying to like push through. And I found that to be very, at a certain point, it became very stressful because I felt like I was misaligned. And then when I found human design, it started to, because I had the sacral authority, I started to kind of use that a little bit more. And so instead of trying to push through things, I started prioritizing my energy a little bit more. So I started meditating a little bit more. I started to say, you know, like things that I wouldn't have normally done. Like, for example, go take a walk. You know, most entrepreneurs, like they don't, you can't take a walk, right? Because it's like, there's so much stuff that to do. Or like, I'll try to learn all these different things to get a good grasp on stuff. But part of, I guess, my human design was that I needed to be a deeper learner on a subject matter. So, you know, whether it's crypto or like real estate or like marketing or business entrepreneurship, like I had this kind of understanding a little bit about everything and kind of be able to pull it all together. But now I've been more looking for, like, do I need to deep, you know, I'm still figuring it out, but, you know, trying to figure out that piece of it. Do I go deeper into something? And that's been one of the challenges is kind of trusting what is that thing? What is that? Where do I go from here? And so I got to catch myself sometimes and say, you know, prioritize your energy, invest into relationships, opportunities will come, and, you know, just be happy. And I think more so than not, I've had opportunities that I've been able to refuse versus trying to push through and goal set and trying to make things happen.
Oh my God, Tim, this is gold. Being an entrepreneur myself, absolutely. Like I was a total Tony Robbins devotee and I still love him, don't get me wrong. But it was always like, you know, take massive action, like get shit done. And especially to hear a guy who I know is a successful entrepreneur say the words that you've just said, like this is for everyone out there listening that's an entrepreneur. This is so important because what ultimately I'm hearing you say, Tim, is that you're learning that your internal guidance system, your authority, your energy will basically take you where you need to go, as opposed to this old school of, you know, like as you say, push, you know, strive, you know, all of those things. Like I remember one of my massive role models, not that I ever met him, but one of my favorite entrepreneurs was Tony Hsieh. And Tony Hsieh, for those who don't know him, he had a business called Zappos, which sold to Amazon for I don't know how many freaking millions. But his whole business was built on happiness, like that the customer was happy, that the team was happy. And I remember like being so aligned to this guy's ethos, yet the way he worked, like he worked hard, like really, really hard. And part of his journey was learning not to work so hard. So I really love that. I think that's so important. And the fact that you said, like one of the first things that came out of your mouth was like, I'm learning to manage my energy. I'm learning to take care of it and take a walk instead of push through. I think this is absolute gold. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
No, I think that's it. Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much, Tim. So Dujon, tell us a little bit about your journey, specifically around, you know, what are the big changes? I know we've already really spoken to some of them, but also like the challenges, like what were the challenges to you getting more and more into alignment?
So I took the time and wrote down three of them. Can I share? as a projector, I know and see that people don't like it when I give them unsolicited advice, seeking recognition, and then when to distance myself from energies that aren't healthy for me, whether that's emotional or sacral energy. So when it comes to giving unsolicited advice, like I naturally want to guide people. I naturally want to tell people what to do. And I am learning how to step back and watch and wait for the invitation. Because people are going to ask me for advice when they want it, because they, based on what I'm doing, they want the information. But if I'm in an environment and I'm like, for example, being at a farm and they have a program set up and, you know, I go hang out with one of my friends, hey guys, like I have this amazing system that can like save you so much money. Like I have this wonderful idea. Like, let me do it. Let me show you. Most people look at me like I'm crazy when I go to their places and do that. But if I show up to a farm with a jar of cannabis that I farmed from my spot and I put it on a table and we take a smoke, then they're like, oh, what did you do for you to grow this plant? What techniques are you using? And then from there, I just give them a basic rundown but I think it was you that said to me, or maybe one of the podcasts I was listening to, like, as a projector, don't give people too much information. Like, just give them enough to get, like, you know, make them interested. And that falls into line of seeking recognition. Those two examples are one and the same, like going into an environment and like raising the big red flag, like, hey, look at me, like I can do all this cool stuff. Pick me. I honestly, right now, I'm getting to a point where I'd rather be the kid that gets picked last on the lot and know that, like, when it's my turn to kick the ball, I kick the ball out of the park, because that's the amount of energy that I have for the game, as opposed to trying to strut my stuff in the field, you know? And then last but not least, projectors are very easily conditioned. Being in this body, I have seen it many, many times that I am easily conditioned. So I have to learn and feel when it's the right time for me to disconnect from an environment, because then it becomes detrimental to my physical being. Not only my emotional body, but my physical body starts to go, my physical body goes through it, and I start to become really tired, especially when I'm in an environment, when I'm around a generator or generators, that their energy isn't good for me. It's more draining than anything. Like, I don't have fun when I'm around a generator that that isn't really into me or doesn't recognize me or see me for what I am. And these are the challenges that I'm working through this year. These are the three things that I am learning to understand. And
I love it. I love it. I think that's so cool. I love that, you know, what comes to mind is it's like one of the things we say a lot in my family is that actions speak louder than words. And I think that this is something that, you know, as a projector, and, you know, I'm married to a projector, you know, one of the big things is that if he stands around trying to tell everyone, you know, give people advice, literally the three MGs are like, whatevs, we're just happy making a mess over here, not interested. But, you know, if we come in from smacking into wall number three, we will go straight to him and say, what do you think about this? And it's really interesting just watching that energetic dynamic. And if you think about it, like, projectors are just wasting their precious energy, and being able to actually back yourself, you know, and I think this is the big thing that a lot of projectors, you know, that's the hardest part, is that by being silent, by holding your tongue, by waiting for your wisdom to be seen, there's got to be a level of self-worth and self-love that is pretty high, because you have to change from, like, I need to show people my worth,
yep,
to I'm worthy, whatevs, when you're ready. And that in itself is, it's a journey. It's something that it's a muscle that needs to be built. And I love, you know, those examples that you give, because it is this journey of just being like, well, and especially I loved what you said, like, the metaphor that you used about being picked last, because again, I would imagine, like, being a guy, like, there is a lot more competition within the male world. Like, let's be honest, I don't think there's a lot of competition ultimately with the guys that are sitting in this room now, because they're doing a lot of, you know, you've done a lot of work. But I would imagine growing up, this is something that's really drilled into you. Like, competition is a big thing. So that in itself, like, sort of taking yourself out of the game until I'm needed, that in itself would be a challenging journey, I would imagine.
Yeah. It can become difficult, even in, like, relationships, like romantic relationships, being the guy and seeing the people around you that you're interested in and wanting to help them, you know, better themselves and wanting to do all the things that make them happy and, like, wanting to just be that best person for that person, as opposed to, like, hey, I do this for you because I do it for myself. And whether or not you're around me, I'm going to keep doing these things. Like, it's an interesting game to play inside of this body, because, like, as a male, there's definitely a lot of competition. And I had a thought a couple of days. It's kind of like being a silent alpha, you know, being an alpha male in the room that doesn't have to walk in and, like, show off his guns to be like, hey, look at me, like, I'm the pick of the litter. more so like, yo, like I know what I'm worth, and the person that's going to recognize me when they stand next to me, they will understand the power that I bring into a space without even having to like take my shirt off and like look at my big guns, like, you know.
I love it
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because as you're speaking, I'm sort of thinking about all the stories or all the experiences I've had with my husband, Justin. And I've often said for years, like he is a, like when he walks into a room, everyone's like listening, paying attention. It's all about Justin. But if he walks into a room with an intention of making an impact or an intention of something specific, nothing, nil, nada, one even looks in his direction. And I think that this is the power. This is the power of, you know, yes, projectors, but also, you know, like human design is that when we trust our energy, we do become magnets. We do become magnets. And I love what you said about the relationships as well. And I know you've actually inspired me. We're going to do a relationships podcast for everyone to get some, a couple, I think we're going to get a few couples onto it. So Tim, you guys might be hit up for this one too, where we're going to talk a little bit about the actual dynamics with in real life people. But I think one of the other challenges with potentially with projectors, with projectors in relationships, and maybe actually we'll go through the room because I can think of them for all types, but for me being in a relationship with a projector, you know, one of the big challenges was I'm the one with the big energy that wants to freaking take over the world and dominate and expand. And for years, I kept myself small because of those old conditioning rules. It wasn't that Justin expected it of me. It was that the world had expected it of me. And once we flipped that dynamic, and now, you know, like I have the business and I'm doing a lot of the doing and he's, you know, doing what he loves, but, you know, things like crypto where he doesn't have to actually do a lot of doing, it's so much better. It does break that dynamic. It does break that conditioning that we're so used to. And I think that that's the more of us that are doing it, the better.
I agree.
Love it. So I'm just going to talk. I'm going to ask you guys a little bit about relationships. So I'm going to go to Paul. As a manifester, I would imagine that in relationships, potentially one of the challenges is, you know, being a manifester, you're energetically independent. You know what you want. You can be very self-focused, not necessarily in a bad way. You're on your journey. You're doing your thing. And how does that play out in relationships?
So, I mean, for me, I'm definitely a very, I'm happy by myself. Like I can, like, I don't need anyone to do anything with me. I just, if I want to do something, I just go and do it. A friend of mine, he's a manifesting generator and he won't do anything alone. He's got to be around people constantly. He messages me like literally all day long and I like, I don't care, dude. Like, whatever. Like, why are you telling me that? Like, so I'm very independent, and I know, like, definitely being a manifestor, I can walk into a room and people notice me straight away. Like in a work setting, like I just left a facility. I was working with around 200 people. Pretty much every single person in that facility knows exactly who I am, what my name is, what I sound like, what my laugh is. If they don't hear me laughing, they're, where's Paul today, you know? What I find is that people kind of take me sometimes like, oh, wow, you're too much, you know, which I'm not really. It is when I'm around people, they see all my energy. But then when I'm not around people, like I'm completely the opposite. Like I'm so chilled out and I need to rest and all that sort of stuff. But all people see is this, oh, you're too much, you know. So it's been something that was well conditioned into me from a young age. And I really had to kind of hide myself in my conditioning, you know, like from just getting too much attention. So what I found with relationships is I've never really built very strong relationships over the years, like long-term relationships that are really bonded with people that, you know, I just kind of come across people and they come and go throughout my journey wherever I am. So I'm single now. I have been married twice, but I find it very hard to commit into one relationship or another. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't tend to, it's not like I try to avoid people, but I'm very bad at keeping in touch with people and keeping in contact with people. It's probably something I need to work on, but
not necessarily. Yeah. Like one of my dearest friends, my oldest mentor, he's a manifester. He was my first boss in advertising and my last boss in advertising. And we'll pick up the phone after a year or 2 years and be like, "Hey, how you doing?" But I think that is more common for a manifester and an MG, because we are energetically independent.
Yeah. I mean, there's a mate of mine who lives in Alice Springs and like, I don't talk to him that often, but when we do, like, it's, you know, like we speak each week or something, you know, and we're the same age. We're a week apart in our birthday, so we're exactly the same age, and we really connected when we were tour guiding together. But relationships is something I actually struggle with. Like, I get along with everyone, but I don't get super close to anyone. So it's a very strange dynamic I have with people.
Yeah, and I would love to go down that rabbit hole, because I reckon there's plenty of answers we could dig out of that unconscious mind, but that's not what we're here for. Yeah. Maybe we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Paul. Jordan, so being a manifesting generator, how has that sort of either helped relationships? How's that been in relationships? What's shifted and changed?
Well, in terms of relationships with partners, I was with someone that was a projector for a very long time, and my current partner is a projector as well. So it's like I'm drawn to that energy. My mum's a projector, so I think it's just an energy that I feel comfortable with. In terms of like the dynamic between manifesting generator and a projector, it can be an interesting one, especially like looking back now that I know my type and the fact that I do things quickly and I find an efficient way to do things. And if someone else, like before, I knew about the differences in people and their design, it would just like make me frustrated if I kind of saw someone doing something that it's like, no, you can do that a different way, like we can do this better, and it would just kind of make me frustrated. Whereas now I'm much more accepting of how other people are, and it's okay that I might do things a bit quicker or someone might do something a bit slower. It's not right or wrong, it's just kind of, we meet in the middle somehow, or we just do our own thing. But yeah, it's an interesting way of being in relationship with someone as a projector now that I have a lot more energy. I have a lot more kind of physical energy to do stuff, and it's fine that she doesn't. And it's actually quite a nice balance. We kind of balance each other out quite well. From my tendency to kind of overdo things and like just be on the go all the time, it's just now have this sort of guide to say, like, maybe you're doing a little bit too much. And so that works quite nicely. In terms of like relationships with kind of people in general, as a manifesting generator, it's like, I think the usual idea of a manifesting generator is like they have all of this energy and they kind of enter a room, everyone notices them, and like they have this big impact. But I've never really felt like that. I feel like the manifesting generator energy in me works a little bit differently. I really loved the phrase you used, Ujon, the silent alpha. I might have to steal that. It's just like learning that I can make an impact in a situation, but I don't have to be like the one that's really out there, you know. I really like that idea. And also maybe the kind of the touch of the kind of manifester energy as well, of being not so good at keeping in touch with friends as well. I have that definitely, that I struggle to go deep into like friendships and relationships. That happens very rarely for me. So it's interesting to hear you say the same sort of thing. But, I've been awful at keeping in touch with friends and family over the years. But yeah, I have that same people, like some people I talk to, and it doesn't matter. Yeah, and it's like we can spend loads of time apart, but we can chat and then it's fine.
Yeah,
definitely feel that.
Excuse my dog in the background. and excuse my dog. I can't. The other dog has just arrived. So, but I love what you said. So I totally resonate. I've always been crap at keeping in contact with people over time, even to the point where I have so many memories where even when I was in my early 20s, I have a friend of mine who was getting married, and it was a big wedding, but it was, you know, they were really, really what's the word, like they were very strict on numbers, and because she was marrying someone who was very well known, they were very particular about who went to the wedding, all this stuff. And I remember her saying to me, no, I definitely want you to come, I know we'll be friends forever. And I even remember in that moment going, ooh, like ooh. But really? You know, I might not be your girl, and it's really interesting. And I think that this is a whole nother topic, because I do think it's something to do with that energetic independence that the manifesting generator and the manifestor have. And I also love what you said, because about, you know, just having that awareness, like when you're with a projector or any other type, having an awareness of the other type, you just let go of so much crap. Like I used to be like one of the things that used to, I don't know if bug me is the right word, but I used to be like, I can literally drive the car for hours. Why do you have to sleep all the time? I don't understand. Like, why do you sleep all the time? And, you know, I'd be like, just suck it up, sweetheart. But now I get it, you know, like, literally, Justin, especially as we've been traveling around Australia, he might have 3-4 naps, because we sort of drive an hour on, hour off, and he'll just sleep every time. And the beauty of human design is I'm like, oh, it's perfectly exactly the way it's meant to be. And I think it gives us that heads up to let other people be who they are, so we're not putting our shit on them. I know a classic for me as well is like, I would judge other people like, I've done all this, how come you can't do it? Like, I'm not special. Everyone else, surely. Oh, shit, no, actually not everyone can do that much doing. So, yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Jordan. Tim, do you want to tell us a little bit about, and I know for you it's a different dynamic, because it's not projector generator. You've got two generator types within your relationship. So do you want to talk a little bit to how the dynamics of your relationships, because you've got two big energies in a relationship there.
Yeah. So one of the things I love about hearing, you know, this conversation and this panel is that there's kind of like a common language, right? So there's a, you know, me and my wife, we were married, she's a sweetheart, but I didn't understand her and she never understood me. And I think it wasn't until human design where when we kind of dived in a little bit deeper that we had a common language where we can kind of talk to each other about. So she said, oh, you're like this because you're a 2-4, or I'm like this because I'm a, you know, manifesting generator. And I think it really helps with that conversation. But I don't know if it's our profile, or, I mean, then you got all these different layers added onto it, because we're both Asian. Actually, she's Chinese Australian. So there's a place in my heart for Sydney. Her mom's still there. And it's just one of those things where I think the biggest challenge was understanding why we do what we do, because even though we come from the Tony Robbins world, I met her through Tony Robbins conferences and all that, and in personal development, there was still this layer of like, I don't understand you. I don't understand why you're so organized. And she's more of the messy type. And you know, sometimes I would take a passive aggressive, and I shouldn't, but a passive aggressive jab on like, why are you so messy? Right. But I think that's just kind of how she is. And I've kind of laid off a little bit. But I would say I'm excited for, I guess, later today, because we have an unpacked for our relationship with my wife, and just kind of seeing how that goes a little bit deeper.
Yeah, we do. I'm super excited. We're going to be doing that very soon. And I love that, because what you've just said, and as all of you are speaking, it's just, you know, what's coming in for me is like, isn't this brilliant? For the the time and effort and energy that people within a relationship have gone into to try and heal relationships or understand each other. I feel like, again, human design is this fast track and this permission slip that, you know, we can understand each other's energy through the frame of their human design, and we just stop judging them. And we don't mean to judge them. I mean, we try not to judge them. And even when we're on our very best behavior and we're really trying not to judge people, we still do it as human beings because our brain is designed. It's a binary. It means that we don't know who we are and what we like unless we compare ourselves to others. So it happens by default. And I really believe that human design is this great system and structure that really helps us to let go of so much judgment and so much criticism of self and other, which I think is beautiful. Thank you so much, Tim. Dujon, you've already really talked about relationships, but is there anything else that you want to add as a projector that perhaps you now going into relationships, what's different? What's different now from before understanding your energy?
The feeling that I get from the different types. So knowing when I'm in generator aura, the want, the need, is it a want? I don't know if it's really a want. Is it? Well, the motion to want to do more. There we go. Yes. So the motion to want to do more. Mm-hmm. Is it necessary? No. Being around an emotional manifester, and when they are riding their waves, feeling their emotional waves from them, and then knowing or feeling when to, waiting for the invitation to say something about what's going on and recognizing what's mine and what's not mine. And then I guess seeing when I'm with a projector or a reflector, how still the room can be.
Mm.
And then understanding how to talk to that person, or especially when I'm with a projector, like we invite each other back and forth to have conversations. So yeah. It's usually a natural flow, or when I'm with my reflective friend, listening to the things that she's talking about because we share commonalities, and then seeing which of those interests are mine and how she's reflecting it back at me and how she's using my aura to help to create, to get out the thoughts that are in her head. You know, like seeing the different types and how they make me feel in space and when I'm spending time with them. That's what I've been picking up on the most as inside of my projector me too, during these relationships.
I love it. Oh my goodness, I love it. I think one of the things that you said early on in that was, I think, really powerful. One of the things that I've noticed that Justin's got really good at, you know, being with an emotional manifesting generator is doing nothing, you know, like the masculine in itself, like the highest, you know, the masculine energy is all about outcomes, results, focus. And, you know, if your partner is an emotional manifesting generator and you're a splenic projector, you know, like this man wants to fix shit, you know, like he wants to fix shit. And I think one of the most powerful things that I've got to witness over this journey is that he doesn't have to fix anything. And the masculine doesn't. I mean, the highest desire of the feminine is to be understood. You know, we don't want anything fixed. We can fix our own shit. But being able to use your human design to really support you to, you know, as a projector, just hold space. Like, it's all you got to do is just hold space. And I love how you talk about you consciously feel into those other energies and learn and receive and understand through that process. I love it. Thank you so much. Oh my goodness, guys. Well, we have been on here for an hour and I am so grateful for your time. I could talk to all of you for hours about this. I had endless questions. I think I got through four, but that's okay. It's exactly the way it was meant to be. Thank you everyone for joining. It's been great. I have really enjoyed having, I think I said that already, got distracted because Dujon, our projector, just pop, dropped off. He's done. Thank you, everyone, for being here and sharing your journey with human design. And for all those listeners, no, he's back. It was his internet. And for all the listeners, I really appreciate having you here. So thanks, guys. It's been great.
Thank you. Emma. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks again. It's been great having you, and I look forward to having you on the next podcast. Bye for now. Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.